absolutely prepare for him to be weaponizing the Department of Justice to seek political retribution. So
may I also add that Matt Gaetz was the sole no vote in 2017 on a law to combat human trafficking. If you have someone who is leading the agency responsible for investigating human trafficking, and you were the sole vote not to pass a law, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And the reach of that goes far beyond just Matt Gaetz.
Yes, right. And I want everyone to understand that the Department of Justice, that is, if you're listening, you're going, Department of Justice, yes, that is the agency of our government, our federal department that deals with voting rights, civil rights, all kinds of criminal misconduct, the rights of the incarcerated, that deals with, making sure that that our government, complies, that works with the Attorney General. Not only is the Attorney General the Attorney General of that department, but he also works, or she works, very closely with the head of the FBI. So there's so much that you got to understand is involved here. And one thing we know about Gaetz is that he has this reputation for vengeance. Folks, if you're saying that name sounds so familiar to me, why? That's because he's the guy who led the fight against McCarthy and forced all 15 rounds of those folks and then ultimately came back after a year and got him out of office. Hey,
Because McCarthy wouldn't squash the ethics investigation.
Exactly.
Right.
And that says everything. Well, I am so glad that we've been joined by one of our nation's foremost attorneys, one of the leaders. Whoa, he's a major leader at the state level and national level. He is the chair of the African American Caucus for the state of Texas. He's also one of the state representatives, and he is a dear friend of TJC. We are so happy to have been joined by Representative Ronald Reynolds. Thank you so much, Representative Reynolds, for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon, Barbara and guests. It is so great to be on such a distinguished panel. I'm excited to be on with you, and I appreciate the tremendous, outstanding national leadership of both you and Daryl. And so, yes, it is a pleasure to be with you both today.
Thank you. One of the other quote picks that I want to talk about is this Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to head up some kind of new agency that nobody knows what it is, called something like the Federal Efficiency Agency, which is bizarre. And Musk has said he's going to cut, $2 trillion out of the federal budget just because he's a billionaire, one of the richest men in the world, and he helped to, bankroll the Trump, campaign and to do their, voter turnout, get out the vote campaign. Suddenly, all of a sudden, he's the man who knows something about government and government efficiency. I mean, what do you think about that one, Karen?
Musk frightens me. He's got $15 billion worth of U.S. contracts. He's the one that, with his Starlink, when asked not to connect it, left Ukraine in the dark when Russia asked him to do it. He's also one of five people supposedly part of this new Trump administration who was credibly accused of sexual assault between him, Matt Gaetz, Peter Hesych, RFK, Trump himself, and Elon. So he is frightening beyond words because Trump is desperate for cash, Elon has it, and he will manipulate to his advantage. And more importantly, he has his apartheid belief system in his mindset. He has also been accused of racism against his workers. He's been accused in other forms as well, too. But with him, it's about money. As everyone knows, with the federal government, between he and Vivek, which is another case by itself, federal work is the one of the linchpins in the into the African American and under disenfranchised communities into the middle class. And what they're proposing to do is not only cut the money, but to, you know, lay off or risk federal employees just because. Wow. So I dangerous. Point blank.
Wow. Wow. And Representative Reynolds, when you hear all of this, because you are on the front line, I mean, Texas is definitely the front line of all these battles. You know, when you've heard these various nominations, what have been some of your reactions? Which one has struck you as the, you know, there's so many that can compete for worse, but which ones have particularly grabbed your attention?
Honestly, Barbara, it is totally shock and awe. The nominations that he has put before us, my only prayer is that they would not be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. These are some of the most unqualified, polarizing figures that are just Trump MAGA loyalists that have no business holding these national offices that, you know, you talk about the Department of Justice and, and Matt Gaetz being the U.S. Attorney General. My God, that is so frightening. That one is the most terrifying one because I know the potential harm that he could inflict upon black and brown and marginalized communities. I know that Trump will be unhinged now with the immunity that the U.S. Supreme Court gave him, and with control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, he has unlimited power, basically, right? And then you couple that with the enormous amount of money that he would have from people like Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and other oligarchs. This poses for a potential very threat to our democracy. So I'm very concerned about most of the nominations that he's put forth. The only one that seems even decent is the Secretary of State with Senator Marco Rubio. That wouldn't be my choice, but he's at least you know that he's competent, capable, and qualified and understands the role. But these other ones, you have to question almost all of them and wonder, is his gut, is his motive to wreck the government? Look, Project 2025 is coming to fruition right before our very eyes. It's unfolding. The architects, the people who want to dismantle the government and really privatize government for the private sector, for the benefit of millionaires and billionaires. My fear is that the rich will get much richer and the poor will be much poorer. That is not good for this country.
All right, Dale.
And you know, Representative Reynolds, one of the things that that I continue to be amazed by is not by the folks that he has appointed, but by some of the people he has not appointed. You know, what do you, when you think of, you know, Byron Donalds out of Florida or Tim Scott out of South Carolina, you know, they sold their souls to try to be part of this Trump team. You don't hear their names at all. What do you make of that?
You know, Daryl, I'm going to be frank. I'm going to be very transparent. And you know, some may say, hey, you're too harsh, but these Uncle Toms are getting what they deserve. He used them. He abused them. His cabinet is almost lily white with a few specks of, you know, of other. But there's no African-Americans. And what happened to those black jobs that he talked about? What happened to all the black people that he tried to manipulate that he was going to be so great for them? Well, I don't see any diversity of African-Americans in his cabinet. Does that mean that no African-Americans in this freaking country that are competent, capable, and qualified to be one of his nominees? So, yes, I think that they should all be eating crow right now, and they should be ashamed that they allowed themselves to be manipulated and used for the benefit of him to be back in power. And now we see nothing. We're going to see nothing in return. I don't see there any benefit for the African-American community under a second Trump term, unless you happen to be maybe a billionaire African-American, then you may see yourself benefiting from some tax cuts and tax breaks that he's going to give to his wealthy friends. But other than that, when it comes to social programs, when it comes to DEI, when it comes to affirmative action, when it comes to MWBE programs, for those who don't know, minority and women business programs, I think he's going to try to gut all of those things. He's already said that he will give reparations for white folks. And he's already talked about how that he's going to go after these people in these institutions and in these universities that reverse discrimination, that promote DEI. So I think we're in for a terrifying tenure of Trump. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I think we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to push back. We're going to have to be the resistance, because a lot of people he's going to silence from fear and retribution. I mean, he's already going after Letitia James. He's already going after Fannie Willis and his henchmen are, and saying they better shut down their cases, or they're going to go after them and criminalize them and prosecute them. That's what he's going to do. He already told us he'll be a dictator on day one.
Well, that's so important. I'm so glad you raised that. And I'm just going to go off script for a minute, everybody. And let's talk about this amendment. I mean, it's a terrible bill that's right now before the House of Representatives. It's scheduled to be voted on tomorrow. It's called H.R. 9495. And basically, this is a Trump-supported amendment that he wants to make sure happens. It would give unilateral authority, I mean, unreviewed authority, to the Secretary of the Treasury to just automatically terminate any nonprofit's status as a federally certified nonprofit if that a secretary decides that somehow the organization is involved in supporting, quote, terrorist organizations. And supporting includes speaking for a favor of, supporting means, you know, having similar, you know, positions. It is really bad. And this law is meant to silence organizations across the country that have been, you know, raising the most opposition to this administration. And and for anybody who's, you know, listening and says, Barbara, well, you know, what can be done about this? I just want everyone to be very clear that it's already illegal for any U.S. nonprofit to engage in actually supporting a terrorist organization. The difference between what this bill does and what the law is now is that it takes away the due process. When you're accused of something, remember, due process says you have a right to defend yourself before adverse action is taken. Under this law, they would adversely already punish you before you could say a word, before you even knew that you were the subject of an investigation, just because the Secretary of Treasury says you're out. What does that mean to you, Terry? I mean, you've been in this nonprofit sector. You have headed up National Organization for Women, which has, you know, one of the largest, you know, cohorts and voice in opposition to the sexist and racist policies of you know, government. What do you say about this proposed legislation?
I think, first and foremost, I think this is Trump wants to make it much easier for him and his enforcers in the government to go after Black and brown communities, Barbara. I mean, this is absolutely putting a target on Muslim organizations, on Black-led organizations. This is so it's it's fascinating to me. And you know, I presumably the white nationalist Christian organizations, which in fact have been adjacent to violence, to white supremacist violence, presumably they will not be labeled terrorist organizations. So this bill really is.